Right. Thank you so much. You know, some of you might not know me. So yeah, I've been here a number of times. Some of you might not know me. Some of you might. It's really always a privilege for me being with you guys and be here. The person sharing the tithe message. Just sharing his journey and so on, and even, you know, getting teary in this, seeing God worked with somebody and just seeing what's happening in the nation. I understand that, you know, I really do understand that. It's so cool to hear. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to get teary this morning, but I want to say, you know, I know Hannes from... Yes, I'm trying to. He said to me, he's 31. I didn't believe that, actually. But he, I know him, I think, since he's 15 or 16. I know him, did camps up in Bloemfontein. He's actually not an original surfer, guys. I know he acts like one. He's undercover. He's a Bloemfontein boerkie. That's what he is. Fellies is the way that he rolls. That's. But anyway, I'm glad he could deceive you guys with that. But seeing him as a young guy between like hundreds of young faces and seeing him over the years coming through and coming through in dying a lot. Yeah. He's just one of those guys that I've seen just suffer so many times, you know, and God had to do just so much in his life. But, you know, it's like almost what you say, you know, you can look back at where a man comes from and what God has done and to be... I mean, I'm just saying, like, guys, for me to be able to stand with you guys, knowing that Hannes is involved in the way that he is, and just to see the way that God is working with him and working with you guys, it is just one of those awesome, awesome things in the kingdom that makes me want to cry. I won't be able to, but it maybe if there's somebody else, I would have, but... it is awesome to together journey and see how we grow up in the Lord, you know. A seed and then a tree. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? And then we look back and we remember the seed and we see a tree and we see the fruitfulness. And to be able to be part of that, it is just, I don't know. I don't know on this side of eternity if there's any better thing. That's it. That's the most awesome thing. Paul said, now I live, you know, seeing the fruit. Anyway, so just on the little prophetic word that was given here by Marco, you know, guys, one of the things that I felt for you guys, actually the word Gideon's army, you know, it's an interesting story how the Gideon's army came about. It was like, I think about 40,000 odd guys that God has called. That's a large number. Imagine we can get that into a building. 40,000 people, the church of whoever, woo! Awesome, you know, we got the people into the building. Hallelujah. But God looked at the numbers and he went like, listen, half of them, I can do anything. If they fear, if they've got too much skin into this thing that they like, well, listen, if it's going to cost me anything, I'm out. And anyway, whether the number is there or not, it means nothing for the kingdom. Excuse them. 20,000 people cut in half. I don't need them. Now, 20,000, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Let's consider again. And he asked them to go and drink. And it's an interesting thing that he asked them. He said, Gideon, let them go and drink. He said, we come every Sunday here and drink a little bit, huh? Yes, the worship was beautiful. And I don't know about the preaching, but I mean, usually, you know. This is like every Sunday we come and drink here. But you know, out of the 20,000, 19,700 only come to drink. 300 came to drink and were ready for war. And he says, 19,700, go. And guys, there's really two ways in how we can look at church. I tell you, the traditional way of church is that the church is really more of a restaurant. You know, you come to Sunday and you drink. And we walk away and we have comments like, I think the worship, the sound selection, the preacher is getting better, but, you know, there's still some work to be done. I would like my dish next time a little bit more salty. That was okay. Well, that was great. And I go home. Next Sunday, you'll see me again. Because church is just a restaurant that I attend. It's interesting when Paul speaks about the church. He calls it a body. Can you attend a body? You don't attend a body. You are the body. You are a member of the body. But see, unfortunately, because of large part of our church, it's like Gideon's army that just attend the drink and attend the food. It's a restaurant. But the remnant didn't see God's come to a restaurant. The remnant joined an army. And I know, guys, I feel that the Lord is saying that there is almost still a call that some have settled for a restaurant. And they attend church faithfully, even maybe come. Woo-hoo. But it's still a restaurant that you can feed and come home to. But God is not looking for restaurant goers. Really, He doesn't care if there's 20,000 people in this building. That will be a stretch, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not shifting the kingdom one bit, restaurant goers. It's those that join an army. And with 300, I can take a nation. That's what He did. Because He had an attitude of a people that didn't just come and eat here. But I'm come to warrior. And I'll ask you, you know, I feel like that is the call that the Lord is throwing out to this congregation. Are you joining are you attending a restaurant, or are you joining an army? Are you fighting with these people? Or you just pick some food out here for the day, for the week? We're going to fight together here. We're going to fight for one another here. We're going to lay down our lives for one another here. Are we going to take the kingdom of God forward together? That's the call. Amen? So I'm just like some of the salt pillars here. Some of the salt pillars here, you know. The Lord is calling you to join the army. Amen? Amen. All right. So I'm going to be quick here. Famous last words, yeah. So Matthew 16 is a portion of Scripture. We've done Matthew 16. We started off with Matthew 16. Very interesting part, Matthew 16. And then that was his Matthew 16. Mine is verse 24. But I'll just say, so it's an interesting portion. It's like, Jesus, who do the people say I am? John the Baptist, Elijah. Who do you say I am? We say, Peter, gave the right answer. Congratulations, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus goes like, well, Peter, that was not given to you by just merely your parents didn't taught that to you. That was given as revelation. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood is not revealed. And on this rock, as being said, thank you, I didn't join a Catholic church today. I knew that because we know we are not built on Peter, but we are built on the revelation of Christ. And then Jesus comforts his people by saying, don't worry, guys. In a couple of days, I need to die. I need to die on a cross. And Peter is confident. I got one right, I'm sure I can get the second one right. And this time he really stretches and he starts rebuking Jesus. How dare you? I'm a man of vision. We're busy building an empire here. Come on, Jesus. You're not going to die. And Jesus says this to him. From the man that he gives the keys for the kingdom, he says this to him. Get behind me, Satan. The title dropped considerably. In 5 minutes. And then he says to him, you are mindful. You think like a man. You're mindful of the things of man and not like God. You don't build like God. You build like a man. And then he says this beautiful thing to his disciples. On the back of this. Verse 24. I can read there, no? Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, three things. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny me, take up your cross, and follow me. Next verse. Forever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I'm sure if you've been in Josh Jane for a month, you might have heard this verse before. Next verse. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his life? For what shall a man give in return for his life? It's an interesting word, and I'll just say that. But in the, I don't know if Anna just taught you guys this, but in the Greek, there's actually multiple words for the word life. We just see the English word life. But there's three Greek words for the word life. Bios, which just means something lives. I'm breathing, I'm alive. Then there's a second word, psyche, right? Oh, here's a Greek scholar. Thank you. So psyche, that means soul life or self life, right? It's like Jesus said in Revelation 12, you will overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving my life, my self life. Whoever loses his self life. And then there's a third word for life, Zoe. I come to give you life and life in abundance. Remember when we were sinners in the world and we seeked life. Thought like, if only I can get that goal, if only I can get that position. And we will get there. We will seek our own lives. And yet, it never really satisfied. We were seeking that life. And then the moment when we met Jesus. And it is this empty space in our heart, this live Jesus haiki that was empty, that can fill. And there's the satisfaction of, I found life. And Jesus says this, you can't have both. You can't have self-life and Zoe. You can't have psyche and Zoe. You can't have self-life and God-life. You need to choose one. If you want God-life, you need to lose self-life. Oh, if you're going to hold on to your self-life, you can never walk in God-life. Now he says, deny yourselves. So I'm just quickly busy in my mind editing my preach here so that we can still go back in a godly time here. But maybe I'll start with Lisi's car. I asked Lisi yesterday this question. Lisi has an awesome car. And I asked Lisi, is your car for sale? Jeff, is your car for sale? Yeah. Jeff's car is not for sale. Jeff, what if I give you 100,000 rand for your car? Oh, it's a good car. Jeff, I've got 1 million rand for your car. You know, I thought that his car was not for sale. His car was not for sale until I brought the right price. You know how many Christians confess that they are not for sale? They're not for sale until I bring the right price. I've seen many Christians that will be up and down in worship, rolling around, hallelujah, Jesus, I'm yours. What about this? What about that position? And it's amazing. I had a young guy in our congregation. He left us a week or two ago, but it was in God. But 10 years ago, he's excited about some position and something that he got to go overseas. And he says, I'm going, and I'm asking him, did you ask the Lord about it? And he says to me, well, he's more than welcome to join me. You guys are laughing. But I tell you, when the price is there, suddenly we forget to ask the Lord about it. And suddenly we're not His anymore. It depends on the price. The problem is, you know, Jeff could be very holy as well and say to me, nothing that I have belongs to myself. That car is the Lord's. Lord, do it whatever you want. Okay, Jeff, here's 100,000. It's not really what it's worth. Okay. Jeff, give it away for free. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Jeff, I thought it wasn't yours. Well, the price and what is at stake is now too little for you. The cost is too high. There's too little benefit. That will be just a waste. Woo-hoo. Now, I tell you, Jesus is making this statement. You who wants to follow him needs to be in a state of denying yourself. It's not something. I had a girl when we were at Bible school, a German lady. Germans can be almost as feisty as the Dutch. They smile just less. See? So I say to this girl, I'm trying her to do the things of the Lord. So, you know, at the end, what you do is you pull out the Bible. So I pull out the Bible out of desperation and I say to her, listen, can we at least agree that you will do whatever this book says? And she looks at me and she says, depends what it says. And I've seen people that says, I will deny myself, but there's a line. And see, the position, if you want to follow the Lord, that the line is wiped out. And that's a position that you need to take. That doesn't come on the decision that, well, depends what you ask. It's not even a consideration. I'm dead. So in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Now this is something important, what it says. It says, you've been bought by a price. Look, this car is sold. If you were a car, you sold. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought. Jesus went like, I'm going to pay a price for you. And therefore, you are bought and you're not your own. You're God's. Now, I've got the privilege of working in Stellenbosch. You know what we feed in Stellenbosch? We promise it to them. Here we are committed to fulfill your dreams. You dream it, we can make it happen. And we give ourselves to see you living out your dreams. Now, the church is different than the world. The world is all depending on themselves to fulfill their dreams. The church is more godly and more holy. They ask Jesus to fulfill their dreams. I can't do it, Lord. You make it happen. Guys, imagine first century slave trade. And the master called all his slaves together. You think the first thing that he's going to teach them is, let's dream a little bit together today. Discover your destiny. No. There's no dreaming together as slaves. You don't have a dream. You know it from the beginning. You only have one purpose, to fulfill the will of my master. And even in the church, we have been denying ourselves in finding ways to have destiny dreams that we in some ways glorify and we spiritualize it and ask God to fulfill them. The most liberating thing in my life, I've stopped dreaming. I've got a different vision. God, whatever you want. Oh, it's so freeing. I don't even have to think up what I need to do. It's like, it's easy. Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want. So my great, great grandfather. Now, it's a true story. If I lie, I tell you guys, she corrects me. She's even when I'm preaching. But my great-grandfather was in Switzerland. He was Swiss, studying to become a missionary. He went to seminary. But you know, in those days, in seminary, at least at that one, you signed a paper. that says, if you finish with us, you need to go wherever we send you. Sign the paper. So he signed the paper, and after he was finished, a Swiss boykie, Europe, they said, we've heard of a group of people in the middle of the Karoo. The town is called Williston now. It is at that state, I think it was called a Mandelboom. Now, it's nothing now. You don't know how it was 200 years ago. And there's a group of people that in the local Khoi or Bushman people, there's a bunch of farmers that traveled past, had some interaction with this Khoi people, slept with them, and a group of bastards came out of that that is rejected. Would you please go and be a missionary amongst them? How's that for a dream or for a destiny? Well, I've signed the paper. You know what they would have told him? If I were you, I would not dream. You've signed the paper. If I were you, I would not dream. You've denied yourselves, didn't you? So he goes there. And he starts working amongst those people. And after a while, he sends them a letter. Genuine, I promise. Going well. Just need a wife. Please send wife. Now, I don't know how it works in that seminary, but what I assume is the woman had to sign a paper. Are you willing to go and be a wife to whoever, wherever? So they send him a letter. No problem. She's coming. She will arrive in the Cape Town Harbor on this date and this date. So he takes his ox cart, I promise you. He takes the ox cart. He finds his way all the way to the Cape Town Harbor. It was not the waterfront, guys. He waits for her, waits for the ship to arrive. And then he tells her, well, hi. You know, I don't know how that greeting went. It was like, hi. Hi, sorry. So, but you know, it's quite a long journey all the way back to Williston. 600 kilometers on an horse cart. It might take a couple of days. We're young. Just, you know, we want to make sure nothing bad happens on the way back. So maybe we should marry before we travel. So let's go. And from the ship, he takes her to Sea Point Little Chapel, and they get married. And they went to Williston and served the people over there, plant the church and do whatever they needed to do. When God says, whoever wants to follow me must deny themselves, he says, will you sign the paper? Ladies. Nock will always want me to say this. She thinks it's important for me to say this. They had an awesome marriage. Because that was not on their own rights and choice that so often feels like you weren't where I thought you were in the beginning. And I don't want you anymore. No, it was a commitment unto the Lord from the beginning. Whatever you give me, whatever come out, God, here. Sign the paper. Wherever, whenever, whoever. It's funny, you know, it's like usually you do altar calls in Stellenbosch. And at the student congregation, I mean, we had a pumping worship meeting, and I tell this story, and I at the end, I said, who's willing to sign the paper? It's like only half of the hands went up. The rest look at me, nah. At least they're honest. At least they're honest. Tell me, when we deny ourselves and when we sign the paper and we truly understand the weight of it, how many of you, if I ask you, listen, will you sign the paper? That will mean for the singles, whoever, whenever. It will mean for all of us. Who of you would understand the one thing that keeps me back a little bit is a bit of fear. You know, I've trusted people with my dog and they messed it up. I had to fend for myself quite a number of times in putting my life into the hands of a person. Now you want me to lay everything and cut off my hands that I could ever defend me. Whoever, whenever, I denied myself, signed the paper. You are bound by law. Sign. There's a bit of fear, isn't it? And so here's the problem when we know, and this is so important, guys. Because you know, there's the verse that says to us, perfect love casts out all fear. And the problem why many are struggling to deny the Lord, yes, they love themselves a lot, but they do not understand the love of their Father. What if He does this with me? What if He does that with me? Do not understand the love of God. And even if I say this, guys, this is the crazy things. You lose yourself. I tell you, it will be the most liberating thing ever. It will be the most life-giving ever. Just sign that paper. And the crazy thing of it is, as we sign that paper, He gives us the desires of our hearts. I mean, it's like, shucks, no, I miss out that verse. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of our hearts. It's like, as if I've become the slave, He then comes and He meets me there, and my heart suddenly starts burning for His will. That Jesus would say, His will becomes my food. Nothing satisfies me as His will. But it's going to take us to deny ourselves. Oh, Jesus. Open up the hand. It's so liberating, guys. This is a life to try and uphold everything. Just keep it protected. All right, but you guys have signed the paper and deny yourselves now. Now we can move on to the next step, all right? Deny yourself. The next step is pick up your cross. Now, what will be your cross? Now, guys, this is my definition of your cross. Your cross is something like this. It's when your will over here crosses God's will over here. Now, if you've been a Christian for longer than 2 days, you would see at some stage your will and God's will crosses. And what the Lord is saying now that's going to happen. If you want to follow me, denied person, slave of me, pick up my will. Pick up your cross. Now, it's interesting that he says, it's not just pick up a cross, let's be careful. Pick up your cross. You know what's the problem with that, you know? I sometimes look at my brother, and I see the cross that Jesus has given to him, and I'm thinking, why can't I get that cross? That's an easy cross. Well, I know, he said, I should have this cross. I wish I could have had that cross. No, he's so beautiful, designing a cross just for you. He knows. He knows what you need. Now, there's a second thing that we must know. You know, there's this thing in Christianity. I spoke to the young guys yesterday about it as well. That we need to kill ourselves. We need to kill ourselves. And Jesus doesn't say that. In fact, we have this thing, as soon as something is nice, I must stop. There will be nothing nice in the kingdom of God. That is religious, guys. That's a lie from the devil. I'm not saying everything that's nice is God. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. But just because you enjoy it doesn't mean it's not God.
And something in us, the religious spirit will say, I must deprive myself in my own initiative so that I will kill myself. Have you guys ever tried and commit suicide through a crucifixion? It's very difficult.
You can eat that.
You can't commit suicide by crucifixion. It's the one death that you need the help of somebody else. Now, I promise you guys, God will be faithful. And He'll kill you. Don't take matters in your own hands, guys. You just need to. That's all that He asks. You just pick up your cross. No, not your friend's one. You don't initiate crucifixions here. Just be true to me. Just pick up your cross. Now, you guys know our man Saul, that was a king, and God asked him to take out this army and wipe out everything. And so he did it. God gives it in his hands, easy stuff, in the will of God, boom, 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 boom. But he looked at those cows and the sheep, man, and like, whew, it's pretty. It will be such a waste to kill them. Maybe if I keep some of the things that God said I must kill, I will use it as a sacrifice to praise Him. So Samuel comes around and he says, Saul, did you win the fight? He says, yes. Did you do everything that God says? He says, yes. Saul, what am I hearing? I'm hearing cows. I'm hearing sheep. Didn't God say you need to kill everything? Yeah, man. But you see, some of it I've kept so that I can give it as offerings to God. Well, that's not what God asked. Saul, don't you know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Now, some of us have found a way to avoid our crosses by sacrifice. I don't want you to spend time with that person. Jesus, I'll pray for them. Jesus, I'll evangelize them. No, I didn't ask you to evangelize them. I didn't ask you to pray for them. I just asked you to stay away from them. I don't want you to watch so much TV. Oh, Lord, but it's to educate me. Or whatever way we have found to negotiate with God via sacrifices. And it's our way to avoid our cross. No? And we do it in beautiful ways, guys. We will fast, pray, evangelize. No, I didn't ask you to do that. Just pick up your freaking cross. If I said don't spend time with them, don't spend time with them. You don't have to evangelize them. Just cut the relationship. Just pick up your cross. Jesus would have said it nicer than I said it nicer. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. Then the last one, guys. And follow Him. Now, there were times in my life, you know, that I knew the will of God. And I decided, okay, God, this is difficult. This is difficult. But since you're God and I'm not, and you're the boss and I'm the slave, you're the master, I'm the slave, I'll do what you tell me. I'll pick up my cross. And I'll go to that place. Here I am. Here I am. I've done it now. I've picked up my cross. I will submit to that guy. I will be in this church. I will be in this church. Here I am. Every Sunday. But I want you to give your heart. What? My body is here. My actions is here. Give your heart. Don't just pick up your cross outwardly. Give your heart. You know the little boy that went to the dentist, and the dentist said to him, lay down. He says, no. The dentist says, lay down. He says, no. Then says, lay down. I'm going to pull out your teeth. No. So the dentist straps him down. And he slowly let the chair go down. And the little boy looked at him and shouted, "My body is going down, but my heart is standing up." So, I've been asked several times, I've several times seen it in my life, you know, where some people are doing the will of God. They do what God has commanded them, but they don't take their hearts with. So their bodies are there, but not their hearts. And then that place is hell. And then they go like, "So I've done your will, and it's still." You know why? It's because your heart's not there. So I'll tell you guys a little story about me. When I was a young believer, at some stage thought I had revelation that surpasses everybody else. And I looked at my leaders and I went like, yeah, they just don't have the revelation that I have. So announced as a 2-year believer, guys, sorry, I've arrived. You know, there's this apostle thing. That's me. I'm going to have to go off and start my own work. I can't hang with these losers. Sorry. So I'm honest. Like sometimes when you think of times when you're younger, you start blushing just thinking of it. That was one of those times, you know. And and anyway, you know, it became very clear then that the Lord spoke to me and says, "No, I don't want you to go. I want you to be under them and I want you to submit to them." So now I'm going like, okay, I'll do what they say. If they say left, I'll go left. If they say right, I'll go right. If they say smile, I will smile. But I won't give my heart to them. I don't trust them. And I'll tell you honest, guys, I had more revelation than them. I had more savvy than them. So I'll do what they tell me. I'm not going to give them my heart. And so, outwardly, all seems happy and fine. That's a good guy. He's changed so much. But I reserved my heart. You know, the Russian army, they can force me to go wherever. They can just put a gun against my head, but they can't force my heart. The heart is yours. Nobody sees it. You keep it. And I'll do what you say. I'll smile. I'll do whatever you want me to say. I'll say it. But I'm not giving you my heart. And so one day in that time, you know, as I'm thinking of these guys, just, they walk in a revelation of the Lord that I thought like I had it just so much more superior. Now I kind of need to settle for a lower level of Christianity when I'm submitting to these guys. But, you know, I'll do what I do. I'll submit. Now, I can't give my heart to this junk. Well, honestly, that was what went on. And one day as I spent time with the Lord says to me, "Give your heart." I said, "God, let me explain to you." The understanding that I have of you, the understanding of the church, the understanding of the kingdom, I can come straight from you. You have created, you have invested that in me. For me to let go of that and give my heart, it will be like, Lord, it will be kind of like denying myself. That's what I want. I don't have the right to reserve my heart. Oh Lord, but you know how you've been, you know where it cut. You know. No. Give your heart to them. You know the difference between giving your body and giving your heart. We've become experts in giving our body. We've picked up what is required of us and we can give that. And back in our hearts, we go like, "But you won't get my heart." And the Lord is saying, deny yourself, pick up your cross. It's not enough. It's not enough. If you're going to follow, I want the heart as well. The body is not enough. I want the heart. It's a bit different, huh? It's a bit harder. So actually, I don't know where to land. It feels like a good place to land. That one felt like it fell a little bit, I just want to say. That one felt like he fell a little bit. So I think let's pray about this a little bit, all right? Because this is it. Be part of the army. Whoever wants to be my disciple. So I think it'll be good for us maybe to acknowledge some of these things, you know. And again, guys, let our bodies respond to our hearts, you know. Let have the heart and the hands and the bodies just be in sync here. But can we just for a moment, as we stand before the Lord, consider this. If the Lord is saying, all right, I've bought you, contract made, I just need you to agree with me. Because God is not, I say it very harsh, he's not a rapist. He bought you, but he wants your agreement to it. He doesn't enforce his right. No, I bought you, I want you to agree. Sign the paper. And so maybe, I think close our eyes so that we not get distracted, because you're not signing the paper for your friend or your mother or whoever. You sign the paper for the Lord. And you understand what I mean here, right? It's not the Josh Jen membership course. It is, Lord, I'm whoever, whenever, whatever. For whatever, with whoever. And so maybe just as an acknowledgement today, I think keep our eyes, my eyes are closed. It's not to look at and give feedback of who put up his hands and not that type of thing. It's just between you and the Lord. It's just a moment. Let's forget about anybody else around. It's just me and the Lord. If you want to say, God, I just want to say again today, I deny myself. I'm not my own. My dreams, my visions, my plans, my salary, my everything. Lord, I sign that paper. I'm yours. I want to just again, for the first time, just acknowledge that's who I am. You want to put up your hand. Again, Father, there's a weight on it. And in some ways, it's the heaviest weight ever, but yet it's the most liberating weight ever. Whoever loses his life, what? Our Lord will find it. And so, Father, again, you see, I know you just see much more than hands. Father, you see these lives that say, Lord, again, the ultimate call, the greatest call, be your disciple and follow you, means wherever, whenever, whatever. Lord, we've signed the paper. Here we are. You've bought us, but we've agreed on it. Here we are. I thank you, Father, that you just see that again in their hearts. In Jesus' name. And I want to ask again, I want to ask you guys, secondly, you know the cross that the Lord has given you. And you've hoped maybe it's your neighbor's cross. Couldn't I get that cross? And maybe you've negotiated a little bit with the Lord, but you know. That's yours. And again, it's just like, maybe you've just dabbled a little bit, finds ways out to squeeze off, whatever it might be. Again, we're not looking, I'm not looking. Again, if you just want to say again to the Lord, I acknowledge that's my cross and I commit to pick it up. I want to put up your hand. Just put up your hand. Father, and you say this. Lord, it's interesting. You tell us in Matthew 11 that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. It's this weird thing. You say, pick up your cross. But yet in the same way, you promise us that whoever pick up his cross, the yoke and the burden will be light. My grace is there. You never give a cross without your grace. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. What a master. I want to throw my life again on you. It's not a burden. It's easy. What a master. You give a cross, but you give grace. And so, Father, you see these hands. And, Father, I thank you for your assurance that your grace is sufficient for every cross and everything that people have lined up. In Jesus' name. And guys, and then lastly, and again, I feel this one have hit a little bit. I feel like there's a bit of weight on it. You know, sometimes when you preach, you can feel boof. That I feel like some of you have agreed to the will of the Lord and you do what He says, but you've not accompanied your heart. Some way there's a little bit of a reservation of your heart. I'll do what they tell me, but know this, my heart is mine. And I feel like the Lord wants to break that today and say, no. Don't keep your heart. I know nobody can see it, and I know you can get away with it. That's not the point. I see. And let me tell you guys, having your body in one place and your heart in another place, that's hell. But when you can get your heart where your body is, suddenly the will of the Lord becomes sweet again. And so I want to ask you, this is weighty, you know. It's like the heart is the one thing that you can keep. I can push your body around, but I can't touch your heart. That's you. You've got the power. That one you can keep. Nobody sees. But maybe you know, there's something of your heart that you've just reserved and kept a little bit. And you want to say today, God, I'm not only going to give my body, I'm going to give my heart. I'm not just picking up my cross, but I follow you now. Don't you want to just put up your hand? Again, I'm no one is looking. It's you and the Lord. Just acknowledge God, not just body. Here's my heart. Oh, Lord, that's true losing ourselves. Oh, Lord, but how freeing. And so, Father, I thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you can have it all. That's not just in our worship songs, Lord. It's not just in our bodies, Lord. It's in the deepest core of who we are. We give you our heart. Where you will us, Lord, we will give our hearts. Oh, Lord, I know when that happened to me, oh, Lord, that was so hard. It's so difficult, Lord. But, Father, for every person that says, Lord, I can't keep my heart anymore, you take it. Where you will us, I give my heart. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you will give them that grace, Lord. That you will give them that which is needed to also add their hearts, their everything, to their bodies, to their yeses. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we praise you, we honor you as our beautiful, beautiful master. Oh, this is what we live for. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.